Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. We've got Lauren Martin joining us today. Lauren is an incredible poet. She's got a brand new book coming out May 14th, 2024. It is called Night of the Hawk. Even the title, I was like, okay, we have to cover this immediately. It's out May 14th, 2024 through She Writes Press. And of course, you can pre-order it. You can go to her website, laurenmartin.net. So keep up with her there. She's also on Facebook and Instagram. And welcome. How are you, Lauren?
Thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And we, you know, we just also not only are you going to be on Big Blend Radio and our Toast to the Art show, but also our brand new Women Making History podcast, which we started March 1st and it happened. Well, you know, sometimes things just, you're doing this now. Like it was like all in one day, you're launching a whole new podcast and you must do this, you know, and a technical error led to a whole new show, which is crazy. And
exciting.
Yeah, it is. And it's about women of the past, the present, and the future. And I think reading your book, I was like, this is like a woman's journey on so many levels and a very candid journey. Like you managed to put like straight up honesty that's sometimes painful with beauty and spiritualism all combined. So I really appreciate your book of poetry. Everyone, it's Poetry Month, April.
Thank you.
So let's start with what led you into becoming a poet, because there's a very few of you left.
thank you.
There's not, but I just feel like it's not, it should be a little bit more at the forefront than what it is.
I agree. I don't remember what happened, but in sixth grade, I wrote something for a class, an essay of some sort, and I got pulled out based on that writing and put into a poetry group. So I don't think I really knew what poetry was at that age. And so I started writing then, and then I continued to write through high school and college. I went to Sarah Lawrence, which is a huge writing school, and I studied poetry there. And I assumed that when I got out of school, I would work to compile a book. I got kind of consumed with both my professional training and then my own shamanic life. So I kind of had to circle back to it really because I got injured. And I don't know if that, there's one poem about having a CSF leak, but I got injured in 2015 in a back procedure and ended up spending 8 years in bed.
That's
which
not fun.
Allowed me no, but it allowed me to compile this book and some other books and finally come back to organizing my voice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because sometimes when you go through those kind of dramatic life changes, painful physically, they also become very deep, where there's like a connectivity. We start to realize we kind of forgot that connectivity we had as a child or even as a baby, right?
Yeah. And I think because my shamanic journey was so arduous and, you know, bizarre in many ways and took me in so many different places and kind of had me always near death, I ultimately, you know, was never still enough to do that deeper thinking or organizing. And when I was injured, what I was left with really was, you know, my experience and love of the natural world and my internal spiritual connection. Because I literally had to lay in bed for most of 8 years.
Wow. You know, Nancy, my mom had to do that when she was a child.
It did.
Oh, for wow. a year as a kid. And you know, she's like me, we're kind of like, let's go experience everything as much
me
as
too.
We can. Yeah. And she had scarlet fever and nephritis, and
oh,
back
wow.
in the day they thought that your kidneys were related to your eyesight, and so they made her lie on her back in full darkness every day and not move.
Wow.
And as soon as anybody left the house, she went berserk and ran around, and she felt completely fine. And we actually don't know if she really had all that or not to this day. And they said, oh, you only have one kidney.
and you'll never have children. Well, here I am, and
You're a miracle.
yeah, but I don't know. We still kind of go like there's some weird stuff that she was told that isn't, but things happen. But
I know.
to sit still and not, is a really difficult, yeah, to so and now you're a psychologist as well, right?
Yeah, a psychoanalyst, really. And
Psychoanalyst, wow.
I became a psychoanalyst, and I also do a lot of addiction work for multiple decades and trauma work. So I kind of have training in lots of different things, but I do that on a daily basis and deeply love that work.
Yeah, because isn't addiction and trauma kind of connected? From all the
Yeah.
interviews we've done over the years, it seems to be that they're connected, but also when people are talking about the homeless situation we have in the country right now, people are experiencing homelessness, is the correct way to say it. That a lot of their reasoning for what's happened with them, or if they've put themselves, on that journey or gone into addiction through things, which it seems to now we have. I remember 2012, we did a lot of interviews on it, and it was kind of the effects out of the 2008 crash. And we had seen through our travels multiple families living out of cars. And at that
Yeah.
time, we did an interview with a lady, Pat LaMarche, and she said, well, the average age of a homeless person at that time was 9 years old. So that was only 12 years ago. Now we see it everywhere. And from the specialists we've talked to, they say it is all from a result of trauma. So,
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean,
yeah.
I actually was a teen runaway and addict on the street. So
Wow.
this is a topic very close to my heart. And yeah, I don't think people end up, I mean, there are various reasons. I mean, there's certainly people that have just been completely pushed out of being able to have affordable housing and already had lack of resource that impacted work accessibility. Diminish work accessibility in cities, particularly I'm in Oakland. But I think there's also just huge amounts of pain socially and addictive process that we diminished. And you do have a subset of people that are mentally ill and certainly unable to manage self-medicating. But then you now have this other group of people who are, have abused substances for such a long period of time that they're having psychotic process. It's very, very sad. So yeah, I think at the root of that is always trauma. I don't think people pick, I'm running away, or I'm going to be on the street, or I'm going to, be unable to figure out schooling without trauma and systemic oppression that impacts that.
Do you
Very
think
sad.
the arts, like poetry, writing it and reading it, can help?
Well, I think so. I mean,
Well, I
I
totally, I'm
think,
100% believe so personally, but just, yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think generally, the arts are a means of communication and should be kept, diverse in that way, in terms of like freedom to speak, because we all are so unique that are here, and we kind of cohabitate together and share the earth together.
Yeah.
So I think we need a myriad of voices. My poetry is very direct,
Yeah.
and so it's you're not you don't question what I'm thinking or feeling, and so I definitely think it's accessible in that way to people that don't necessarily understand poetry easily, or I have friends who don't even like poetry that much, and but they can understand what I'm saying and they feel impacted by it. And that's the beauty of art, is that you can, it's so subjective, in particularly poetry, because it's you can utilize the words in your own experience and it becomes a different thing for each person.
Well, I think what's, yeah, reading your poetry, there's definitely a nature connection, a spiritual connection, which we can talk about too. Strong in feminism as well. A very, the different things, you know, you talk about being post menopausal, all these different, there's all these issues we all go
That
through as ladies, right? We all connect on these
time.
things, but it's kind of like, it used to be like, oh, is it that time of the month? You know, how
I
you know,
know.
situations. And now it's like, no, you shouldn't, you know. But at the same time, there's some actual strong realities that why can't we all just blurt it out and get on with it, you
Talk
know? And
about
I
it.
feel like your poetry does that. Directness is needed, and I think it's sometimes the only way to get through to people today, with all the bombardment of media, that people actually need to have that kind of like a wake-up call in a way.
That's so true. I mean, I do think people are so steerable right now, by, different groups that use media and social media to direct them. And what seems to be happening is in this like great crusade of feminism and Me Too, we are worse off, I think, as women, clearly. I mean, abortion is, we have Dobbs, abortion is legal. And it seems that the representations of women are way more extreme. Women are either expected to be hypersexualized or they are, kind of cast out, put out to pasture as you age, which is just outrageous. And there's no real reverence for eldership, wisdom, context of history, and I really think women carry those stories. And I have that poem Ode, which talks about abortion, and one of the things I was trying to talk about in that poem is just that women have very different experiences of abortion and the choice to have an abortion or not have an abortion, and that experience can change over time with different experiences and perspectives. And yet, because there's this politicization of it and stigma around it, women don't even get to talk about it. And so that's a grief or a shame that women carry by themselves in
Yeah, and
silence.
they're fighting each other now. It depends on what side, you know. I think it's funny that we're wearing red and blue. I mean, and this is not a political statement, by the way, everyone. Just, I wanted to match your
No.
book cover, but
That's so sweet. Thank you.
you know, it just
Thank
looks
you.
like we're like the 4th of July today. And
I
it wasn't planned this way, but this is,
know.
but in a beautiful way of this is like we should be able to be, you know, complete opposites and have a communication of what is common ground. And women
Of
carry a
course.
lot of common history through the
Yes.
years, you know.
And common fight. I mean, the fighting for the right of women is something that, I mean, I did with my mom on my mom's back when we were, solidly not middle class. And my parents were activists and land lovers and had a strong desire to give back. Ended up in my mom is a social worker, my dad was in public health. They lived in Bangladesh and my dad ran a cholera center there. And so we were always taught to respect the land, respect your elders, and to fight for people that had less access. So, I really have respect for my parents' legacy, but they also had the legacy of their parents. My mother's mother was fighting for those things. And so it's all contextual and we build upon each other.
And I think poetry gives a way for, it's also self-reflective, like when you can sit and read a poem and reread it or just slow down with it, right? It's self-reflective where you can have those moments of, even if it's really direct and brutal, you know, or just real, I mean, you're very candid. Like, as
Which
soon as
one
I was
was
reading this,
brutal for you?
well,
I'm
so
curious.
there was a few, I was just like, oh, she's going like 100%. Like there was the one about Lyme disease and a lady, the wife, and she's embroidering. And then there was like, even though she had like appreciation or not appreciate compassion, you know, at the same time she had gratitude that it wasn't her. And I'm like, dude, that is so true. You know, that's true. You know,
Oh, that
it's
one.
like, yeah. So I felt like that
Oh,
was,
that one.
that's,
That one was written in the Bywater in New Orleans.
oh, wow. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
that spent a lot of time there.
Oh wow. Yeah, I love Louisiana. That's a whole other
Me, I, yeah, me too.
it's a that's a
A
whole
magical
swampy,
place.
yeah, swampy magic.
Yeah.
Yep. You gotta like
Yeah.
that. But I think
Yeah.
when you read something like that, we've all been there, men, women, we've all been through something like that where the other, it's like there's just no true pure compassion. What happened to it,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Even in spiritualism, that's where people get really shocked when sometimes spiritualism, and I know you want to talk about this too, is not all pure, is it? Because people get
It's not
involved
all
with
pure.
spiritualism and or religion, a shamanism is as you say too, and at the same time, I mean, I can tell you witch doctor stories that are crazy, but at the same time, we always looked at it as a power of psychology, of understanding, like the witch doctors in Kenya and South Africa understood the people and they knew how to manipulate and make things work. It was kind of interesting to us of that.
It is really profound. I mean, my journey, I saw the dead since I was a child, which I think has made my life very complicated. And I actually, because there isn't a context for that, in historical societies, there was a medicine person that, was kind of taken care of by the community. And then that assisted that person in not having the complications I had. But I ended up kind of having very strange metaphysical things that people could see occur around me. And I went on this long, arduous journey, and I went through all the religions. And yeah, what I found in each and every single one of them was a problem of humanity, and that people use people and fear and suffering to their advantage. And the religion that I ended up in, which I love very deeply, has all those same complications with the psychological perspective. But also, I mean, there is a lot of spiritual power, we call it ashe, in the religion Ifa, that, so there's a lot of witchcraft, and there are people that are willing to do things outside of the basic tenet of that tradition, which is something called Iwapele, which means good character. So the idea is that, nothing works without having that good character and being guided with your behavior and your, we call it your ori, which is your sacred head, into a direction of faith and purity, which allows, your destiny to manifest. So humanity, gets it wrong with the environment, it gets it wrong with religion, it gets it wrong in lots of ways. And so, what I want to try to talk about is, like, how do we step outside of all of our different personal beliefs and find what's unifying and have real care and kindness for one another, true care, not, kindness that exists, when it's
Yeah, I'm gonna
easy.
hold. Yeah, it goes right back to that poem. Oh, I have compassion for you. You have Lyme's disease. That's really a painful thing to go through and really not easy. But at the same time, thank God it's not me.
Not me.
I didn't hang
Well,
out
I
with
think
you.
that's
That's
Lyme
it. That ego.
is such an example of that.
That is
I mean,
the ego. I think that's where we're not balanced. And I think this is talking about the arts earlier is part of this, the beauty of music to me, which is it really comes from the source of nature because of birds. And here you go. See, got Night of the Hawk. And there's this, once this life force, you would say prana, right? Comes out in this art and it's connected with nature, right? And so when musicians perform together, the ones that create something, well, sometimes it comes from fire, right? From anger and ego and whatever, and it'll create its own thing. And then sometimes it's that flow where you have that transcendence through sound. That's when the ego takes a back seat and they become actual vessels of the spiritual craft. I mean, there's a musician we know, Evren Ozen is his name. We met him when he was 9 years old, I think 9, 10, 11. Yeah, maybe around 11. He went on a road trip with his mom. His dad had passed. And He's Osage and part, oh, he's anyway, he's an American blend. He's a wonderful human being. They went across the road trip to Maine from California, stopped at the Grand Canyon, took his pocket money out and bought a Native American flute. And he could play it, like, just so he still took classes and everything. He was nominated for a NAMMY's, multiple NAMMY's, which is a Native American music, like your Grammy, but for Native American music. His National Geographic, I mean, the list goes on. But we've seen him, we've had him on shows, and he became a pilot. So it's, and his music is always about hawks and birds flying. There's it and nature, and just there's always this, you know. And then he also was a, he became a, he, I don't know if he still goes to schools and recreates powwows and teaches this, you know, but all of that is part about transcendence, right? You're leaving that, you know, you don't care what you're wearing anymore. You may dress up for a powwow, but it's an offering almost, and it's like you're selfless. So it's weird. I
I
know
do
I'm
think.
sounding completely weird, but it's
No, you're
okay.
not. No.
But
I
yeah.
mean, you know, in all shamanic traditions, you know, the drumming is what brings in the spirit,
It, and that's
and it
where
is that.
you're going, and that's where other substances sometimes come in because it's going to another level. So I think addiction comes in because you're trying to go to that level as well. But anyway, he ended up doing downhill skateboarding champions. I mean, this is this kid, but if
What
you
an
think
interesting
about how
guy.
it all connects, right? Yeah, now he's a pilot, but he when we watched him perform so many times, and the lights would go out wherever he performed. The lights, the electricity would flicker, go out. I don't care where it was. And we even set up a performance for him in the middle of Joshua Tree. It was awesome. All these top elect,
Amazing.
you know, all the sound guys come out, and I'm like, it's not gonna happen. And it's like, but his music continued. He had like a fly go around him. And he was still playing, even though he moved the fly away from himself. The notes were still, you know what I mean? So you know he's like this
It's
channel.
transcendent.
He's channeling. Yeah.
And I mean, I've been a medium since I was a kid, and have, you know, complicated experiences with other people's dead who come and talk to me and give me very specific messages for them, and then I walk into a restaurant and they're there the next day. And
Isn't
but
that
you know,
weird?
I think
Yeah.
it is so weird. I think, you know, whatever the divine is to you, it calls different people in different directions, which is why, just like the land, I don't think we can claim ownership to spirituality or religion or earth. You know, Yoruba believe that everybody has Ifa, and I believe that because Ifa is a complex divination system that has it. There are 256 possible combinations of numbers, and each one of those numbers is referred to as an Odu, and there are 1,864 verses per Odu. So, you know, and that's taught orally from elder to junior priest,
Wow.
over. So, you know, the idea is you come from heaven, you grab your Odu, your destiny, and you either initiate or you don't. But you, regardless, you have that destiny. When you initiate, you pull your own Odu in the sacred grove, and that gives you guidance about your life. It's uncanny and shocking. My second leg of my Odu, because there are two legs, is hawk. So hawks are so significant to me. And you know, they come around me in just the most magical ways. I mean, I can be outside in the shrine and come and sit with me, or fly over me, or fly over me to the point of grazing my head. I mean, it's so beautiful, and I feel that spiritual connection is just so meaningful. And you know, I think everybody's pulled naturally to wherever they're supposed to go, and we objectively can't say who or what should go in what direction. Like, that this kid knew in some intuitive way what he needed to be doing.
Yeah, there's it's to me that's a beautiful thing too, you know, and that he could have go in different levels and not go, oh, I'm only doing this. Well, we're the blend, so we're always like, what else is there?
Right,
It's
exactly.
like Earth is a candy shop, you know.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
there is something about the birds and nature knowing and that connectivity. And
Yeah.
you know, Nancy, my mom was, you know, she was like a intense wildlife observer as an artist, and work tracking wildlife and things like that, and taught me that as a very young age. And when you observe animals, and really observe, you start to see our commonalities with them, the caring, the nurturing that they say doesn't, you know, oh, they don't feel that. That was some dude like way back when who said animals
Okay.
don't feel, you know,
Yeah.
and it was so
So
that
profound.
for meat eating and stuff like that. It was like this
Right.
whole,
Yeah.
yeah, it was like this whole,
A
anyway, that's a whole other,
rationalization. That's a
yeah,
whole other subject.
there's a
Yeah.
lot of things that people do in history and manage to spread the word. I mean, I don't care how
It's a
ancient it is.
telecontry. It's so
Yeah,
easy for that
exactly.
to
It's up
happen
there.
for
There's
social
PR
control.
people, like, and I'm
Yeah.
not knocking, you know, I work with amazing publicists, but
Yeah.
there are people who understood the power of PR like way back when and
Yeah.
used it, you know.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
it's but I want to go back to on your poetry, you know, this directness. Don't you also feel that that's also important, because sometimes part of our time in life is hiding away from the directness, no matter what it is,
I mean,
how
I think
beauty or pain.
psychologically, yeah, I came in very direct. I mean, I wasn't the easiest kid for that reason. I think my mom says I said, at 9, this family needs to go to therapy. And I don't even know how I knew what therapy was. But so I've always been very direct and unable to kind of I've always intuitively known what the root of something was. And I think it makes me great at my psychotherapy physician. But yeah, I think it's also expressed in my poetry. And I do think particularly, with where we are now and environmentally, I do think time is now. I don't think there's time to wait in kind of this morass of questioning or debating. I think we're in an urgent position and species are dying, and that should be an indicator because we are a species. And I see so many young people getting various kinds of cancer that they didn't used to before. I just think we don't have
Yeah,
time to waste.
we've been polluting. We've been polluting a
Yeah.
lot. Now,
Yeah.
in your spiritual beliefs, does reincarnation come into play? Because that's
Yeah,
always
as
what's
a
fascinating me, because I'm always going, all right, can we like scoot ahead and tell ourselves like, no, go back and do this quick.
yeah,
When you
yeah.
think
No,
about the
I
environment.
right. Are you an old soul? Yeah, I mean, they can even yeah. Sometimes it comes up that such and such child is a reincarnation of this grandparent. So yeah, Ifa believes that you go through this kind of hall of souls, and you're in between, and then that's when you pull your Odu and you come to Earth. And that Odu is very varied and different for each person, and can come in blessed or in imbalance. So yeah, there is a cyclical reincarnation of the soul. And I mean, I definitely, in my experiences with the dead, I mean, it makes sense to me that that is the case. It's always made sense to me, because you can feel that people are different. There are some people that do feel very young and, kind of like they're like, wow, I'm here, and other people that have little kids that have this deep kind of wisdom that you can feel. So, yeah.
I was gonna say too, with you on your spiritual journey, when did that start to happen for you? Because you're saying you really started studying all religions and everything, and you know, that's kind of, did you sit and make a list and go, hey, I don't like this one, I like that one? I mean, what was it that said to you, okay, I've got to go and figure out this spiritual religious side of things, you know? Because I think, you know, when you think about religion, A lot of times it's like, oh, you're Christian or Jewish and, you know,
Right.
or
That's
Muslim.
it.
That's it. Those are
Yeah.
the three. And,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
so it's an interesting thing to me. It's nature, you know, very much that way. Everyone's got their own thing. And I think there's reverence for it
That's
all.
right.
But I feel like if we don't have some kind of something, it's like a house of cards. Did you feel
I can
that at
make
some
sense
point?
of it. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
I really, you know, I think when I if I had been born in a different time and culture, I probably would have been initiated at a very young age because of how much I see the dead. And when I wasn't, I started having strange events that again were like non-debatable. And then those events worsened over time to the point of becoming really extreme. And you know, my spiritual push and shamanism manifests tangibly in the physical. Clients were seeing things. I was seeing things. I was kind of
Yeah, you
nomadic.
have
I
to kind of
mean,
put a shield around you and
yeah, it
all
was
of that
very
and learn that.
intense. So I think by 18, I was like, I had been as a kid, I had been, you know, talking to the dead and talking to nature spirits and kind of, you know, very connected to that. And then by the time I was 18, I was practicing Buddhist. And when that didn't, you know, which I love the tenets of Buddhism, but it didn't fix my metaphysical problems. And so I went everywhere. I mean, I like had last rites. I did everything. I did the exorcist, you know,
All of that,
the
yeah.
Exodus trail. I mean, I did literally everything you can imagine to try to fix this. But through the whole process, I kept hearing, you have to go to the root, you have to go to the root, you have to go to the root. And Ifa is considered the root of all religions. And then it just kind of distilled from there. And so I ended up,
You don't hear that much of that at all, really.
yeah, I
I
know.
mean,
It's
is it
because
just me? I mean, I don't know. Is it, I mean, I don't think very
I
many of us hear about it.
no, I think what people hear about is Santeria and Vodun,
Yeah.
because those are branches. So it's like the Yoruba had Ifa, and then it kind of traveled to Benin and became Vodun, and then the Kikongo had Palo, and then little by little, you know, with the slave trade and as people migrated, things changed and adapted. And you know, people were away from their priests and slave masters controlled people away from their religion, and so they had to hide and house some of their religion
Oh man,
into saints.
I mean, even the white people that came here are, you know, came because, you know, from England, the pilgrims came because for religious freedom. I mean,
Yeah.
and now it's like,
Yeah.
no, you will anyway.
Yeah. I know.
It's religious freedom is, I mean, look at the world right now. It's not
I
working for us,
know.
is it?
It's not working. Well, I mean, I don't think people really house that. You know, I think, you know, it is compassion for all human beings and not being susceptible to governments, all governments and division, you know, this divide. I mean, you know, because of, you know, Africa. I mean,
That's
division
the
of,
motherland.
yeah, and division is the means of, you know, controlling everyone socially and creating dictatorship. I mean, that's what's happened in Africa, in every country. You know, it's just a mess. And so, it's really sad to see that happening here and not have people understand that. So.
I think, you know, I love that you bring all of it together because it's like the science and the cloth uniting, and that's something very rare that you see. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Because when you think of the science side of what you're doing in, you know, therapy and all of that side, the psychology side of it, I never get any of those terms right. And then here comes the
You're
spiritual
good.
side, most people, and then hey, let me put the arts in there with some poetry. That's kind of like the binder to me. It's kind of, you
Oh,
know,
thank you.
like I think Khalil Gibran was like that to me. Of
Oh, thank you.
what he wrote was that balance, and he was pretty straight up too. He was
Yeah, yes, he
poetic, but
was.
like
Yeah.
he was like, I'm gonna teach you a lesson right now. Boom, here it
Yeah,
is, you
yeah,
know?
yeah.
That's why he's
Thank
the
you. That's quite a
prophet. But I
compliment.
think
Yeah.
that's what I like about your work is you still have that sense of place. You put yourself in the scene of whatever, whoever, and that, you know, in the stories, it's like a book of short stories, but it's poetry, and you write it the way you want to write it, which is,
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot, and it's going to be
Thank
my
you.
way. And so it's real, it's got integrity. But
Thank you.
that, to me, I think your poetry is that glue between the two things that you do so strongly, the spiritual
Thank you.
and the
That's so
psychological.
great.
Psychological, that's a new word, psychological.
Psychological, but that's
Thank
great.
you. I haven't even had
Psychological
wine
works
yet
too.
today. See, we're talking addiction. I love my wine and I haven't even had a sip yet.
There
I'm doing good. I should be drinking wine on shows. No, but honestly, I think that's a interesting balance of, you know, for people and for them to take that time. And poetry is great because you can go back and go back to it, you
You
know?
can and see different things in it each time you read it. Yeah, I was reading one of the poems from the book yesterday about my sister, and you know, it made me cry. You know, it's sort of about my love of her. I might even cry now. And the cancer that she went through and what we went through with that. And you know, it's still evocative to me. So, you know, and I hope it will resonate with other people that have had that kind of, you know, experience with people they love and their suffering.
Yeah, there's a lot of suffering in it. That's a word that comes up very well. Yeah. But I think people will find solace in that because when you're reading, right, you don't feel alone. And that's
Yes.
the thing, because our brains do and say whatever they want, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the other part of it. It's like, yeah, let's be real about it. And sometimes you have
Well,
to hug the monster, you know?
I think that the permission to have your experience dispels the experience. And a lot of what we are sort of trying to do with spirituality in our society right now seems to be to try to, you know, blanket that experience, which I don't think ever works psychologically. I think the more you try to repress an experience, the more it festers and worsens and kind of like whack-a-mole comes up in a different way. And so, you know, I think in being able to have the experience, it lessens it. And in sharing it with somebody else and seeing somebody else has that experience, you feel less alone, as you just said, and feel it less self-critical.
Do you believe in in spiritual guides coming from the natural world, not always from the human world? Since I know you talk a lot about seeing, you know, those who have crossed, right? I just don't
Yes.
think energy dies personally. Like, that's my
No.
scientific side of it. So it's like it's just going to transform as it goes to a different
Form.
zone or plane. Or like right now there could be 10 people sitting in me, like, and
Right.
I, you know, go, no wonder, like, you know,
Yeah.
stop eating beans. No, but
Right.
you know, so
That's
there's, you
hilarious.
know, there's, you could have all the, like, I, it's a rabbit hole for me, but
Right. Well,
animals
it's interesting.
will tell you things, I believe.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think the one of the ways that I ended up in E5 was this hearing the root, and another was in symbols happening in nature that I realized spoke to what's called the Orisha. And these are natural elements representations of God and nature. But you know, my Odu houses certain connections to certain Orisha, and those kept manifesting over and over and over again. And one was, you know, being the hawks. The hawks come around me, I think, to clear death and to confirm that I'm on the right path. So, you know, I was having this, my sister and I were driving somewhere the other day, and I was like, I was questioning whether or not we should even be going. And we were on this very narrow slope of a hill, winding hill. And there were just these big valleys, you know, not dense forest. And on every light pole, there were 16 full-grown hawks, one after the other. I mean, you know, hawks don't exist that close to each other. And 16 is the number of in Ifa that's so significant. So it was just felt like, oh, okay, thank you for the confirmation. Thank you for being here, letting me know.
To me, there's a lot of communication that goes on, and it's only if you allow yourself, but it's always there.
Right.
It's only if you turn your eyes on, that kind of thing, or open up, Nancy and I got kind of into that with Ted Andrews. I was the have
Oh,
you ever
yeah, I love him.
Oh man,
Animal Speaks.
but it became to a point of now you're overreading into, you know what I mean? So we had to kind of distance ourselves from it because it was like, oh, we saw this, so this means you need to kind of calm down and also just allow your being to know and don't, you know what I mean? Like you can over
I do
like
think people have certain animals that communicate with them more than others.
But
I
it also
think.
depends on where you are. Sometimes
Yeah.
well, these animals live here, but there's like the roadrunner and is a sign of change and actually prosperity. It's actually a good thing, and but they're also go hand in hand with the coyote, which is a trickster, but that's also a good thing. So it's like if you look at a deck of tarot cards, the tarot cards, like people look at the Fool or the Tower of Death. Oh my God, death. Well, so it just means it rebirth, so it's like these
Rebirth.
extra steps,
It's this perspective of context, of understanding context.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be whether it's, like our one cat passed away and
Oh
that's
no.
when we decided to go on the road. We're like, "Well, why are we here?" We can see our friends all the time and whatever and we knew she was going, and it was weird because we just knew. And the lady who came to put her, to sleep, and she came to Nancy and I each on our own that night before, and like purred on it, like it was
Oh,
like a
said
goodbye,
goodbye.
like a really good long, long goodbye hug. She did it to me. She did it to Nancy. The next day, the lady came, and they give her like an injection before the injection, and she didn't even finish getting the first injection. To calm her, to do the passing injection, whatever that is, and she passed. And the lady's like, "Well, if you were second guessing." That day we went out to Saguaro National Park. We lived in Tucson at the time, and we were already thinking of this tour and doing our parks. And we went out there with our friend Rondi, who had also just lost her cat. And we all lived in South Africa at different times, but we all believe that we met each other in Kruger Park, of all things. Anyway, so we were out there, and there's our special place. We would go sit, and there's like a little Ramada thing, and it overlooks this beautiful valley of saguaros, and it's just gorgeous. And there's all these birds that come around, and some people
Gorgeous.
were there in our spot. Like, and anyway, so we sat at this picnic bench. And we always have champagne together. We hike and then we have a bottle of champagne together, right? This is non-addictive behavior. This is fun behavior. So next
No,
thing
it's
you know,
healthy.
all these butterflies just surrounded us, right? And I knew it was the season. You're having champagne. That's a, attractive, but it was the sign to, we both were like, yeah, that's the rebirth. That's Athena. She was the goddess of all things beautiful, the kitten moving. So I got goosebumps now. And so now we go, the people with the picnic spot finally leave. We go up to our spot, and I'm going downhill to the car for something. And somebody was trying to contact me because they knew that Athena had passed. And I'm like, "Why are you trying to even be on your phone? You're stupid. You're walking through the desert." And lo and behold, I almost stood on a black rattlesnake. It's an Arizona rattlesnake, a pit viper. He's in there. And then we saw him another time. The last time we were up there, one just went over my shoe. But
Oh my
I went,
goodness.
"Oh my gosh." And I was like, "You know what?" And then there was another one. So we had to do all this, But is that not like when things like that on nature? So I'm just trying to bring it home to anyone could have had the exact same experience as Nancy and I. This is a very, it, and I always tell people about the story because I feel like it's identifiable. That is, to me, nature communicating in their way of
Communicating.
rebirth. A snake is medicine, healing, whereas people feel it's fear. Yeah, I was a little like, "Oh, don't step on him," But would you say things like that? That to me is nature's poetry and communication and
Oh, so
ways to
beautiful.
be awareness. That's my point. Is that's why I was just sharing that part as a way of like with your number of hawks and those things that we kind of just go, "Oh, there's a hawk. oh, isn't that interesting, and get on to the next thing, answer a text message, instead of actually
I think you're
connecting.
right. I mean, I think if you respect nature and animals as having an existent spiritual being that's housed within them, then it's easier to listen to what they're telling you. I think if you've been, taught not to have that reverence, which I mean, I really do believe tolerance is taught. And so I think, if you've been taught not to have that tolerance, then it's easy to miss those symbols. And, I think many people suffer. I suffered quite a bit in my childhood and as a runaway. And, I went through a lot
Oh,
of
wow,
things
yeah.
in my shamanic journey, but I never lost my appreciation or love of the natural world. And it's always been there for me, always. And been the magical accent. To me, I call it the Orisha, but like you were talking about the Roadrunner as the trickster, we have, I mean, to me it's all the same. I mean, it doesn't matter what,
That's what I'm saying. It's just,
one, it's all the same. We have Eshu. Eshu is considered the intermediary between heaven and earth. And he's also called the divine trickster, and he either brings your destiny or blocks your destiny, and it can be really difficult. And
Kokopelli is like that too, Native American lore.
yeah, I mean, people just, traveled and, then things changed and adapted, and it's all the same. So how do we kind of love each other and the earth and animals, with that understanding that it's all one beautiful root that
If they're
unifies us?
healthy, then we are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really
Exactly.
true. Wow, what a conversation.
Such a great conversation. I
I
really
feel like
enjoyed
I need to
it.
go for a hike now.
I
I
know. I
do.
know.
Even it's
I
cold
know.
and rainy where we are, but I do. I feel like I need
Oh,
to
it is.
go for a hike. But we are hanging
Yeah.
out with fox and possums out here, if that makes
Oh,
any
beautiful. Where is that?
Right now we're in Lubbock, Texas. I think we'll be in
Oh,
North
my.
Carolina when this airs, but right now we're in Texas, and we're at a household where all the animals gather, and I mean feral cats, fox, possum, raccoons, birds, and they all hang out together, and squirrels. We can't leave out the
Oh,
squirrels,
how
and
cool.
they all hang out here. Like it's like this is they've called it home. It's
Oh,
pretty cool.
that's
It's
so
pretty cool.
moving. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But I think animals know when you're a caregiver, you
They
know?
do. I think they absolutely know. I, you
Yeah.
know, we were in New Hampshire last summer to see my mom, and I love bears. And the first day we saw a
Oh,
bear
yeah.
cub. It came across the road and stopped and just looked at me. And then that night, a bear came to my window and was like scratching his back for an hour and a half, and just didn't do anything. I could hear him like eating and all those things. I mean, I think they feel the resonance of what's safe. If you think, I believe that everybody is reading unconsciously all the time. So, it's the unconscious is a language we're all speaking and we don't know it. And, I think animals feel that, people feel that, and that's they tap into what you're thinking and feeling, even if you don't say it.
Absolutely. Now, Nancy and I could be in two different parts of the house, and I could call her.
You know.
Or
Yeah.
I know if I've done something to make her mad,
Yeah, 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 yeah.
which is probably the usual thing. But like even our cats, like cats are like, I'll do what I want when I want. I would
Yes.
be able to communicate with them and say, okay, if you come in here, I'll give you a treat. And next thing you know, they'd be coming walking in the room. So I do believe, but you have to practice it. That's the thing.
Yeah, you do.
That's and I think and going back to Night of the Hawk, your book
Yes.
and the power of poetry is slowing down and connecting, because poetry is not speed reading.
No.
It you're going to kind of miss it. You can go back, obviously, but it's reading poetry also takes time and practice to
It
go and
does.
get another message, see how this feels. It's like tuning
There's
your
so many
brain and your soul.
subtle things. Yeah, I mean, like when you, in poetry, you know, the cutting of a word, you know, that you think could be there leaves the opening for all other kinds of thoughts, or it gives an emphasis to an experience. It's really specific poetry in that way, specific to, you know, what you're trying to say. And you can miss that if you're just kind of reading lines quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for joining us here,
Thank you so much for
everyone.
having me.
Lauren Martin, and it's LAUREN, Lauren Martin, dot net is the website. Night of the Hawk is out, and it is out May 14th. Yep, May 14th, 2024, through She Writes Press. Of course, you can order it now and keep up with her on Facebook and also on Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us,
Thank
and
you so
best
much.
wishes
Thank you for
with
having
the
me.
book getting out there to millions and millions of people. They need it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.